Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
To save you against some pitfalls that Satan has arranged ahead of you. Just being in this meeting may just be your salvation. So please, let's ensure that you go over those things again and let them become a part of you. Because of our time, we are moving straight into the next session. And I know many of us here are students and you have hours of lecture. So you are already... It should not be strange to you. Do you get that? It should not be strange to you. So, can we receive, let's rise to our feet. We have a barrister in the house. Hallelujah. He's a man of God. Sir, let me make you more afraid. He's a man of God. He's anointed. You know, the mayor of the Holy Ghost that is resident inside him is something that needs to be desired. Sorry, sir. Don't be offended. Let's receive. By Sir Jemilo this afternoon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please let's sit down. It's on, sir. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's only in the ministry of the gospel that some serve alongside fathers without intimidation. In secular organizations, when your forebears, the fathers are speaking, you keep quiet. Sadly, a reverse of that ancient culture has taken your generation, where people without experience want to speak things they don't know. And I'm glad that we have fathers who have not lost the significance of slapping us back, you know, into some seriousness. I was asking you earlier that have you ever been slapped before? But once in a while, so that we do not get lost, and God is not forced to make us bad examples of bad things, we are wired back into line. I'm thankful to God for convention. I thought I would be around every evening, but I missed two nights due to the exigencies of secular employment. But I'm thankful to God I still caught up with quite a lot. I'd like to thank our fathers in the house, Pastor Sheyi. I call him Brother Sheyi. I just feel bonded and I feel in a large way I am somewhat responsible to him and his wife and Pastor Bello and his wife too and then all our pastors, Father Ogi, Pastor Gidon, who like to make fun of me, and Pastor Dele and my brother, Wale, right? I remember your face. And Pastor Lyleja, I'm glad I got a session of you today. Reverend Ken, I bumped into you in Ondo. And Reverend said I should have told him I was concerned that they could package well, that I caught them raw. I love the atmosphere I met in Ondo. Amen. And I'm glad that it has pleased the Lord within the ambit of this convention to give room for us to address the challenges of young leaders in ministry. Father, we ask for grace as we proceed in this session. We ask for mercy. We ask you to grant us access, give us entrance, give us insight, generate obedience in our hearts, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, thank you because your love for us is eternal. And Lord, if you keep us till we see your face. In Jesus' name we are praying. A better amen. Daddy said I should talk to you briefly. I won't take as much time as Pastor Ladejo did. He didn't take more than 1 hour. He told us that he had a lot, and I expected him to actually pour out. But there is a side I feel we should look at as ministers, and the issue of marriage for you young people. I'd like you to know that God is jealous in his kingdom, and he doesn't want a mixed race. You see, when Pastor was speaking about mixed multitude, my disciple told me that multitude means multiple attitudes. And when Pastor said mixed multitude, you know, I just calibrated in my thinking that if we are not careful, both us and the strangers we identify with will be rejected eventually. You see, there's this side of God that I'm afraid of. It seems that sometimes after he has warned and he has given instruction, and you present yourself as somebody who knows more than he is saying, he can just jettison you and leave you like that. And you know, I've seen people in the Bible with fantastic pedigrees who became nothing. One of the saddest examples I saw in the Bible is a young woman called Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. You know, it's just simple that Dinah was the first girl in Abraham's lineage. Abraham had no daughter. Isaac had no daughter. Dinah was the first. And if God was raising a new line of men through Abraham, in my mind, Dinah will occupy a special place in the mind of God. Whether by design or howsoever. But somehow, you know, after Dinah entered into the claws of Shechem, I call Shechem, Shechem. That's the way the name sounds to me. Dinah became forgotten. Dinah became written off. And I couldn't see a future for Dinah in the Bible. And I thought to myself, this is the danger of a self-governed life. When you just feel you know enough, and thus, fatherly instructions have become old school. You know, the counsel of the elders have become things you can toy with. And as I look at the scriptures, I realize that, you know, Dinah's mixing herself up with Shechem, even though we have no record that an offspring was produced. You know, it seems as if God just shut down that angle. And that girl became nothing. She just became a non-entity like that. But that's not my pursuit. It's not my pursuit. I'm thinking about us being careful. I'm thinking about us appreciating the role of fathers, especially in this matrimonial angle. By the grace of God, you know, I read law in school. I teach law. And I teach the law of marriage. And I'm very familiar with matrimonial breakdown in the world today. That even pastors divorce easily. And I've had people teach that if your wife is spiritually cold and dying, you can divorce her. That death ends marriage. And spiritual death, you are the one that can judge a person who has death spiritually because you have spiritual sight. Pastor, in your book, you love Moses' law. All manner of things. Simply because, like Pastor warned us, you can go deep, but don't look for what is not missing. And I believe that if Jesus gave men loaves and fish, our message must have the same context. Simple even for a little child to understand. And so the urge to want to belong to the high class, you see, the philosophers who spoke those philosophic things, where are they? Even after some years, their theories became useless. Even they themselves were not saved by their philosophy. Yes. So, as I share with you this morning about the need to order your life aright, you know, the marital angle and the career angle, I beg you to see me as just a simple pastor. I don't have revelation. That's what I tell people. I don't preach rev. I preach rev. I preach responsibility. Okay? So I won't titillate your mind, no. I won't, even if I know life, I will not say it. I'm not saying I've not seen things in the scriptures that are unique. But somehow, I'm just not, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in the scriptures, there is a marital pattern I saw. But I feel we need to learn from. Last night, Pastor Bello said, if you have ministry inclination, not the exact words, you should come for this meeting. I'd like you to know that if God has any oath on your life, if there's any commitment of heaven on your life, God is also concerned about what happens to your marriage. I am convinced that when God brought Adam to the animals to see what he would call them, he wasn't asking Adam to pick a partner. He was just bringing Adam into spiritual authority. Okay? Establish the authority over every animal by naming them. And you know, I joke that that is a case of first-class intelligence. A man who could give every animal a name, and the next day, the cougar remained a cougar. The jaguar remained a jaguar. The leopard remained a leopard. The cheetah remained a cheetah. Lion remained lion. Tiger remained, all in the family of feline cats. All, what he called them yesterday is their name to tomorrow. If I bring you out now and I mention 12 names, you will forget 6. But that tells us the kind of person Adam was. Yet, God did not entrust to Adam the job of picking a wife for himself. If anybody was made unique, anybody was made high from, Adam wasn't made a baby that was to grow. He was a full-grown man at creation. If God could not entrust Adam to just choose a wife by himself, I am convinced God is interested in who you marry. More than that, God is interested in your preparations towards marriage. Now, whether you like it or not, if you're ever going to marry, you are becoming somebody's husband or somebody's wife. So if teaching, if instruction, if discipline does not find a fitting place within the crevasse of your soul, then you may end up entering into a status yet unable to fulfill the purpose of that status. Believe me, ministry at the glamour level can be very sweet. I mean, when you step down to preach and people run around to welcome you, the minister is around, especially you young people. So when you're not kind about banter, you know everybody on campus is a pastor. Pastor, and you're already having pastoral care units. Sisters are cooking for you. They are washing your clothes. Don't laugh. You know what I'm talking about. You know. And they are really making you feel like our papa. I have a younger brother who was misled like that. Our papa. And he grew. He was number 6. I'm number 1. And that thing entered his head. He was in poly. He was papa. When you want to talk, our papa is resting. So I'm like, papa, you won't. This is the person whose school fees I am paying. But you know, he has become, so when it, so by the time I would deal with him, you know, Sherry Egba Omade, Owa Egba Lua. By the time God would bring him to order, just to bring his life to order, God just taught me some wisdom. I brought him back to line. Now, the deceit of such glamour is that it doesn't help you to see yourself as you are. And sometimes in that hype state, you tend to make serious decisions that will go a long way. Nobody should make serious decisions in such a hyped state. Now, as I look at the Bible, I began to conclude in my thoughts that God is not only interested in who you marry, He's also interested in who you become yourself. That in your becoming, He wants a synergy, you know, towards the person He's joining you with. I'm glad Pastor told us last night, He didn't pick His wife by sight. And you know, many of us have that testimony. I never saw my wife before. I came to Akure for a wedding, and I just saw her in church, and it was, that's your wife. And I was like, Ele, I see you bro now. Because I looked at her, what are the brothers in our church looking? Oh, I can't even see moon any. But unknown to me, God was preparing somebody as He was also preparing me. It's been more than 20 years now. I am more convinced I made a good choice. Now, when I looked at the Bible, I was just looking at the man called Jacob, the third bearer in the line of the covenant God made with Abraham. And I feel that you young people need to pay more attention. So what you are hearing, what thoughts have been formed in you, and what kind of opinions you are developing. I told you, this is not a rev time. It's a time for practical, raw talk. Pastor, you're a rev. But you know, as I looked at Jacob, I came to some conclusions. Number one, Jacob appeared not to understand the weight of the covenant on his head. That there was an agreement between God and his grandfather, and Jacob's name will be tied to God's name for a nation to bear in years to come. It appears to me also that Jacob did not even understand his own prophetic unction. You know, sir, forgive me for some of these my examples. When Jacob was asked to go and pick a wife, do you remember that midway he got tired somewhere? Night fell on him. You remember? And he slept. The Bible says that he encountered a spiritual traffic that night, sir. But you know, the name of that city was called Luz. Jacob changed the name to Bethel. Are you aware? 800 years after, when Jeroboam planted a calf in Dan and one in Bethel, God never fought over Dan. Simply because somebody turned that city to one that would bear Jehovah's name, Bethel, God kept holding to Jacob's prophetic utterance, fighting over Bethel. Yet Jacob did not understand the kind of unction that was upon his head. Maybe he couldn't remember anybody ever pouring oil upon him, but there was a promise that was running like a life cable over his line. He was told to go and pick a wife. How many did he come back with, please? He came back with how many wives? No, four. Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah. Now, you see, this is where I'm going. When Jacob was asked to go and pick a wife, Jacob didn't even ask himself, am I ready for marriage? Everybody is marrying. My twin brother is married. Alright? I mean, they said I should go and pick a wife. Sometimes, as a minister in making, God may decide to strip you of some excess, empty you of some nonsense, before he joins you with somebody else. I tell people, if some of us will deal with our weakness, we will have better children. Believe me, if in the days of your singleness, Pastor Dele, you have dealt with some, forgive me, some temporary stupidity, and God has helped you to remove that from your genes, it is possible that the children you will have will not bear those natural patterns to the same extent with which you bore them. Something would have been tamed. So Jacob went to Paddan Aram to pick a wife. And when he entered, what happened? He saw Rachel. Minister, it is not by sight. It is by instruction. Rachel was not Jacob's wife by design. Listen. Listen. It seems as if in God's planning, I don't know, it's not a level. It seems as if after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there will not be a fourth name. But from Jacob's loins will come forth two sons, the priest and the king, that will just speak of Christ. Sir, and those two boys, they are not in the womb of Rachel. They are in the womb of Leah. But because Jacob had not dealt with his character, you know Pastor Hamad's character was, and Pastor, thank you for that. That's what gives us credibility. Without character, you are just a comedian on the stage. You only have some deceased guys making noise for you. Without character, you are a fluke. You are funny. You are funky and you are a fake. As far as God is concerned, without character, he doesn't recognize you. Men, sir, comedians gather crowds too, sir. Those Alibaba boys. The 1,000 laughs, Abi. People pay to hear somebody make a joke to mesmerize and make fun of you. And you are there. And he's looking at you. If you are wawa, nobody wawa wife. And he's like my brother, come. And the comedian is ridiculing you like, and you are laughing. Your money, your time, and your dignity by a comedian. So it doesn't make much difference to God that you have a mega crowd. That's not the point. Now, because Jacob had not yet been dealt with in character, God will have to speak to Jacob through Jacob's own attitude. Jacob couldn't hear God by normal speaking. Are you aware the night he encountered God at Luz, the prayer he prayed, The marriage was asked to go and make a trust. He didn't ask for directly about marriage. Everything Jacob prayed for that night, marriage was missing. So I said, you encountered God. The first thing should have been, oh God of my father, thank you for appearing to me. Now why, I did go seek home, utter myself against my stupidity. I know I have the tendency of being deceptive, being fraudulent and mechanical. Please, go beyond me and sort me out. Jacob said, if you are going to protect me, in this way I'm going, and bring me back, I will give you a tithe. And he said, and I was like, how does a man forget his purpose so easily? Long story cut short, he entered Padan Aram and he saw Rachel. Omagere, brothers, get this from me. A woman's alignment gets altered after the first baby. No woman retains a shape. Mommy is here. But that when you married her, she didn't have this belly. Master, with this belly there is increased wisdom. With the flabby shape, there is a lot more of wisdom, a lot more of inner strength, a lot more of character, a lot more of support for the man's dream. Anyway, Jacob saw Rachel. And then he said, he was asked to go and pick a wife and return, stay for a few days though. And Laban said, you are serving me for nothing. You know what I'm thinking? As soon as Jacob entered Padan Aram, his spiritual antenna was disconnected. I am convinced in my mind, Jacob did not sustain the encounter of Bethel into Padan Aram. Otherwise, there would have been a difference. Listen, meetings like these are turning points. Don't miss it. Don't attend a meeting and like, I was at the authorities though, and then after 6 months, where are the impacts? We can't even trace shadows. We can't even trace blueprints in your life. It's not worth it. Anyway, Jacob said to Laban, I will serve you 7 years. So I said, 7 years? Pastor, not 7 weeks. Not seven months. So I said, you know, <laughs> 7 years for your daughter Rachel. No spiritual consultation. No praying, no seeking counsel, nothing. And I know some of you here, you are in relationships, and pastor does not know. Can I tell you something? You are walking like a bastard. That is the pattern of a bastard. Yes, sir. That is the pattern of a bastard. No true spiritual son brings a wife. Sir, in Yoruba culture, it is families that pick wives for sons. And in the Bible, families... Sir, and as I speak, sir, in the Bible, families are heavily involved in marriages. That's why the African sector has more enduring marriages than the American sector. You don't divorce easily here. Omadasi, there is purely a contract. So when you are a brother and you are under a pastoral authority, when a pastor appears to be, well, a pastor is gentle, alleged anything, you are robbing yourself. You are robbing. I didn't marry without pastoral consent. I can say that anywhere. I told my sir, I saw a sister. And pastor said, go and propose. So, sir, your pastor should hold on. But eventually, I release you. It's the same with me. It was like, okay, let me pray. And when pastor says, go and propose. So I came to the sister, and my proposal was just 4 sentences. I love you. I prayed about it. I want us to share our lives together. Will you marry me? Oh, keep story. And daddy, I told her, I know you need to talk to your pastor. I will wait till you and pastor sort things out. And in my heart, I was going to wait for 9 months, the pregnancy duration. If God can't speak to you in 9 months, they will have anyway. But you know, Jacob double-crossed himself. He was sent to impress Laban. What is going in Laban's house was servants and service and walking. Yes, And somehow he forgot his own background. Excuse me, you are the son of a settled father. Isaac was not a laborer. He was an inheritor.
Yeah.
Then you are Isaac's son. You are Isaac's son. And you are the one who has the blessing. And you are now here. There is nothing as good as taking pastoral counsel in this dimension. Listen, young ministers, no matter how anointed you are, if you mismarry, you are an accident waiting to happen. Go and ask John Wesley. He married one mad woman of a wife. Oh, for jewelry, 20. And you know we have ministers in Nigeria today whose stories are not straight anymore because of matrimonial disharmony. In fact, we have some who are just casual on TVO in their houses. The wife handles the husband like Bolotunlo. Oh, see the daddy now. Anointing Oloni. You know how the wife said of Mahaba anointing Eje? And the husband says, Jo. Mo Beni. I'm sorry if I'm making you laugh. But those are, you know, pastors talk about pitfalls. Young people, please, let me be very, very practical with you. You say, I've not even opened my Bible. Because these things, listen to that, they are inside of me. Every time I see marriages breaking, I'm like, God, please don't slap on your intention. And Jacob said, 7 years. And Laban said, okay. So I asked myself, what manner of deceiver was Laban? Are you aware Laban was the one that came to welcome Abraham's servant? Charity. And they said, we have a provender for us. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. And Abraham's servant entered carefully. Jacob was not as careful as Abraham's servant. Yet Jacob was a son. So I said, what manner of son are you? That you are losing your identity. You are losing touch with your background because of a wife or a husband. What manner of sister are you? That a Yahoo boy is flashing at your face and you are forgetting that God said, your father said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And the Yahoo boy, who you know, the loss of man and the loss of God are hanging on his head, is tempting you. And you are selling your soundness ministry because of a Yahoo boy. You must keep your identity in focus. It is who you are. It is not where you are that makes you. It is who you are that should affect where you are. It is not the environment that will determine you. It is the inner structures of your soul. And Jacob, Laban just gave it. And said, okay, serve me 7 years. And on the night of the wedding, God said it. God said, for 7 years, I thought you would wake up, Jacob. You didn't wake up. And waited night and day for you to come to us. You didn't come to your senses. Well, since you understand deception, let me use the deceiver to speak to you. I asked, brother, you've been married for more than 20 years and I've lived in your house. How does a man sleep with a woman, sir?
I don't know.
Until daybreak. Tell you to anything, Lord Rooney. Pastor, O course here for Dumeji. Sir. I said that night, God suspended Jacob's sentence.
I guess so.
And God said, you won't frustrate my plan for your life. This is the woman who has what it takes for my promise to continue. Do you know that the two sons that Rachel had what this significance? Benjamin was the first king that did not continue. Joseph had success in Egypt. Do you remember that as good as Joseph was in himself, he took nothing out of Egypt. Thank you, sir. And not by himself, sir. Moses Logbe. And I began to ask myself, what was it that God saw in Leah that Jacob didn't see? And do you know that? Pastor, the day I saw this in my Bible, I was like, God, on the day Jacob was to die, he called Joseph. He said, come, don't bury me in Egypt. I will lie with my father. He said, at the cave of Machpelah that Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite, you will bury me there. He now made two statements that shocked me. No, three. He said, there, they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There, they buried Rebecca and Isaac his wife. There, I buried Leah. I said, eh? So on the resurrection morning, it's Jacob and Leah. Even though we don't marry in the world to come. But that tells you that God has an interest, a vested interest. If God has any iota of interest in your life by reason of his calling, who you marry matters to him. Young people, we have had a lot of teaching in this convention. And there's one strong point you must not forget. The world constantly strives to drive us away from God's will. The world brings substitutes. The world brings all manner of temporary pleasures. No. This is old school. This is that. But as I looked at Jacob and Leah, I was just asking myself, why God shut Rachel's womb? And the Bible says, God hearkened unto Leah. There was something about Leah's spiritual character. She had more than beauty. And you know, eventually, Jacob was forced to love Leah. Do you know that? Rachel died on the way. Yoruba would say, Obadele. And they buried her under an oak. I said, this is serious. What kind of pattern did the Bible record for us to learn from? The scriptures could have been silent about these people. But I just can't lose the grip of that story on my heart. That every young man in whose life God has an interest. You see, God will intervene. He will interfere. He will interrupt your life. And when he does, he may not compel you. It is your wisdom to understand the signal and adjust yourself accordingly. And, I looked at Rachel. You know, all through Rachel's life, Rachel was never a spiritual woman. Daddy, when they were traveling, she stole Laban's God. Do you know why she actually did? It wasn't as if she was a core idol worshiper. But she couldn't connect to Jacob's inheritance from God. She wanted Jacob to inherit Laban's estate. You see, whoever had those gods would take over Laban's estate. So Rachel couldn't see an inheritance beyond the natural. If it has been Latimer, this issue of God being my reward is far off. Jacob, this one you are saying that there's a covenant blessing on your head. I can't see this one that I'm seeing. Oh, you are there. And Rachel packed. And you know, I was just wondering why Jacob came like that. And Jacob in that passage entered Laban's tent twice. He entered Leah's tent. I'm talking about, not Jacob, Laban. You know, Laban came for swing. And he said, if you are in a hurry to go home to your father, if you are homesick, why are you stealing my God? And Jacob said, stealing him. Whoever stole your God, let him do what? Let him die. Unknown to him, it was his wife. And he has spoken death to Rachel. Whoever has stolen your God, let him die. He didn't know that his own word carried away. Pastor told us last night of the brother who slept in the woods with another guy. The guy who demons were oppressing. And because bro was there, the demons shifted 1,000 meters away. We can't move around this one. You know, sometimes something is on your head and you don't even know. And the brother himself did not sleep. He just wasted angelic presence for one night. Angels left their location. They moved around to give you covering. And you just wasted their labor. Mid-morning, he jumped out. You know, some of us are like that. You are just using boldface hair in church. You have not worked on yourself enough to be sure of who you really are. That is why outside of church, the wind of the earth can just move you and sometimes slap you. You need more than public confidence. Yeah. You need to be asserting yourself, who exactly I am. Does God have a plan for my life? Yes, he does. What is the pathway to that plan? Jacob cursed Rachel unknowingly. When Rachel died, but as I looked at Laban's interface with Leah and Rachel, you know, he also entered Leah's tent the second time. And when he got to Rachel, Rachel said, "I'm sorry, the custom of women is upon me. I cannot rise to greet thee." Now, a true saint, a true child of God, values his or her spiritual inheritance more than anything natural. So the first time I came here, I was asking myself, what made you to come to this place? But you know, it's just the vision. It is just instruction. And we are all here. We are all here. Young men, hear me. There is a lot that God will hold you responsible for. A lot. If you can marry anybody you like, if you are a nobody.
Okay.
You can marry anybody if you are a nobody. But please, hear me. If God has any inkling of unction upon your head, if there is any anointing, if there is any calling, if there is any vision in your heart, if there is any authority upon your life, then the person you join yourself to in matrimony matters before God. Ultimately, Jacob recovered himself in his old years. When he appeared before Pharaoh, he said, "Few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage." Even though he had, you know, Jacob advanced in years. Years also advanced in Jacob. There are people in the Bible, sir, they advanced in years, but years did not strike them. They grew old. Look at Moses at 120. Sight not dim, natural strength not abated. But Jacob could recollect many evils that befell him. A man who could have just had one wife and sons and daughters from the same woman had Rachel, had Leah, had Bilhah, had Zilpah. So I asked myself, when they were giving you their handmaids to wife, couldn't you have told them, in my lineage, Abraham had only Sarah. Isaac had only Rebecca. Where did I get this pattern of turning handmaids to wives? No. My father told me that Grandma Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, but that Ishmael was sent off eventually. So why should I continue a pattern that even my grandfather disconnected from? Why? No. But somehow Jacob had become, for me, he had become weak in spirit. He couldn't even identify what was of God and what was of man. And he began with a careless disposition from the onset. So I want to beg you, who you marry matters. And where am I going? Submit these issues to pastoral authority. Please. Please. You lose nothing by receiving counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there is what? There is safety. Sister, which guy? Sir, if you see this guy, pastor talking about the spirit husband. Someone go, mate. Maybe the guy got a spirit husband in human form. Who knows? You know, in those of Mandarin movies, you see one devil looking, wearing black. He doesn't think we are black. I'm very sure of that. He doesn't think we are black. Satan wears nice clothes. Nice comb hair. You know, if he has a tail, the tail is tucked inside his trouser. I'm convinced of that. I just want you to know that God is interested in your marital life. And then as I drop off, you don't need a bachelor's degree to serve God, but God can use it. By God's grace, I went to get a PhD because I needed it in my career. I will soon become a professor. That is not my destiny. And that's not my identity. But for the purpose of my career in the secular dimension, I needed to do something. Listen, God is not against you having a first class. Don't throw it away. God is not against you having a second class honors, upper division. Don't throw it away. And if you have a third class, there is a place for you. Get this from me. Do not, because of some ministry excitement, terminate your scholarship. Don't. Please don't. I am convinced that God permits this secular system to go on for a season, for a reason. And if we can take whatever we can and use them, I mean, we don't spend money in heaven, but we all invest. There's the parable of the talents. Okay? Whatever you can lawfully and legitimately make of yourself to make you a better functionary be. Pastor just told us about the evangelistic side of the Great Commission. It is easier preaching when you can communicate well. Yeah. That is the truth. Personally, you speak terrific English. I am trained to note diction. I don't speak too good English, but I know good English. And I'm like, Pastor, sound God, not just in Revelation, not just in all. My heart is glad. And when I see an undergraduate Christian, I was went, I was come. I'm like, people of the relay. Who perverted your tongue like this? Who has done this to you? Praise the Lord. Am I making some sense to you? Make the best of your opportunity. There is something for you. God bless you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-6029 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.